Welcome to the website. I'm so glad you were able to join today. The teaching is going to be about come apart to be apart. And to kind of set the stage for this, I wanted to explain to you that the Lord has brought me into a place of a sabbatical with Him to be able to have some downtime, to come apart, to listen to some of the things that He's wanting to direct me about my future, about the ministry, about reaching out to the community and to the world and to the nations that I know He's called me to minister to. I needed some time to just get the voices of the world and the people around me that was, loving me and speaking into my life. And some of it was God and some of it wasn't. And I just needed some time to come apart to hear what His voice was saying. So, as I was doing that over the last, almost a week now, I just began to think about how Jesus had to do the same thing Himself, that He would be out in public ministry. He'd be traveling about with His disciples and loving people and healing people and casting out demons and doing everything He could to touch the lives of those that would come to Him. And, but even He Himself in His own natural body and His own humanness had to have time to go apart and to get away from the disciples even and to get away from the crowds and the multitude and just take time to be with the Father. And you know, we know that in the scriptures it said that He would have to only do what the Father would tell Him to do. And to do that, we have to make so much time with the Father that we're setting apart part of our day and a part of our life to be able to hear only Him. And there's nothing wrong with fellowship, and there's nothing wrong with being in church meetings or conferences or you know, any of those type of things where we're gathering together in the name of the Lord, because we know that where two or three are, there Jesus is in the midst of us, so we don't want to forsake assembling ourselves. And you know, there's not anything wrong with that, and we need to do that, but there are times that God says you need to come apart, because until we come apart and really get the mind of Christ, we really don't know what part we're to play in the body of Christ. And we can get so diverted and sidetracked and derailed on the things that we set out to do. We began a course in one direction, and the next thing we know, we're kind of detouring off over here, and we've been being pulled over there. And you know, we see such tremendous needs, especially here in America. And as I travel internationally, my heart's pulled to other nations, you know, South America and to Central America and back to England and back to Scotland and Ireland and all the places that the Lord's opened up in the last few years for me to go. I'm constantly thinking about, Lord, what can I do and how can I get there? And the Lord's saying, you know, I'm going to get you there, Jan, but right now I need to talk to you and I need you to come apart and I need you to sit down and be still before me. And it's okay. Jesus did it. It's okay to be still before the Lord. And so I kind of want to start this teaching where Jesus did that very thing. Let's look at Mark 6, chapter 6 in Mark. And we're going to start where He's beginning to feed the multitude. You know, He was set apart and traveling and doing so much for the people in the surrounding communities and towns that, of course, His reputation was being known and people were hearing about it. And if they knew He was nearby, boy, they were doing everything they could to get there to Him. And so let's just start reading. It says, the apostles then rendezvoused with Jesus and reported on all that they had done and taught. Jesus said, come off by yourself. Let's take a break and get a little rest. For there was constant coming and going. They didn't even have time to eat. And I don't know about y'all. That's my little Texas accent there. I don't know about y'all. If you're constantly coming and going and constantly being caught up in schedules and agendas and conferences and needing to be here and needing to put that on your calendar and needing to be over here and people pulling at you to teach or to go minister or to just sit down and listen to their problems or to pray and healing for them. I mean, we're all caught up in that tailspin of activity, and especially in the day and age that we're living in, because we know that the end time is getting closer, so people are getting desperate. And of course, the enemy is getting desperate. He can't stand that we're having true victory and real outcomes of victory for people that are coming in contact with our lives. And so he's always trying to get us busy and well-doing. And the Lord says, oh, don't faint. Don't get weary. Just keep doing what you know to do and come apart and let me talk to you. And so that's what we're doing, man. We're coming apart to hear what the Lord has to say. Well, we're going to read on here. It says that they got in the boat and went off to a remote place by themselves. Someone saw them going and the word got around. From the surrounding towns, people went out on foot, running, and got there ahead of them. I mean, they were beating Jesus. That's how quick gossip, that's how quick the word can get out. That's how quick, if the Lord's moving, man, people begin to get stirred and the Holy Spirit begins to draw them. And they beat Jesus to where they were going. I just thought that was awesome. Now, they went by boat, but these people beat them on foot. I just think that's great. That's the way we need to be, running after the Lord, constantly seeking him out and getting there so that we're positioned to receive from him what he has for us, whether it's at church or in a home cell group. It doesn't matter, but we're that hungry for his presence and for his touch and for his word. So I thought that was kind of humorous that he's going by boat and these people, you know, are going by foot and they beat him. That's just awesome. When Jesus arrived, he saw this huge crowd, and at the sight of them, his heart broke. Like sheep with no shepherd they were. He went right to work teaching them. Oh, by the way, y'all, I'm reading out of the Message Bible. Don't teach from there a lot, but I just thought this was such a great way and a simple way that this was text and easy to read and easy to understand. So I just thought I'd use it this morning. Again, it's the Message Bible. But I think it's so precious the way the Lord's heart broke. You know, he can't be around us and not be moved by our infirmities. That's what the Holy Spirit's ministry is. He's touched. He's moved. He is just so heartbroken when we are in need of not just teaching, but of a touch, of direction, of just an opportunity for us to love him. So when the people came, he just went, oh my goodness, these are sheep and they have no shepherd. And he couldn't but be himself, which was to reach out and begin to teach them about the kingdom of God, about the love of the Father, about the things of the kingdom that would change their life, that they wouldn't walk away with just, a natural man's word, but it would be the word of life that would change their life. And it goes on and it says here, when his disciples thought this had gone on long enough, it was now quite late in the day, they interrupted. Now, isn't that just like us? How many times have we, and I've done it, but how many times have we sat in a church service or a conference or something, and people are being ministering to, and they're going up for prayer, and there's a lot of stirring going on up front, but, you know, nothing that they've called out, you know, with something going on in your life, you didn't need deliverance, you didn't need healing that day, and you're just sitting there on the verge of being bored and thinking, oh my goodness, is this ever going to end? Is that not just like human nature? Is that not just like our flesh to do that? Is it not just like the enemy to get us distracted and get us caught up and it's late and how long is this going to go on? And the nerve of the disciples to interrupt. But you know what, guys? We do the same thing. We can be sitting in one of the most dynamic moves of God that we've ever seen and begin to want to interrupt the working of the Holy Spirit. Want to interrupt and stop the word of God. Not meaning to, not being malicious, but how much do we do by not meaning to be malicious? And how often do we quench the Holy Spirit by interrupting him? And that's exactly what the disciples were doing. Now, they had the nerve to interrupt Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And yet we are guilty of the same thing. We are a long way out in the country, they said. It's very late. Pronounce a benediction and send these folks off so they can get some supper. Now, the disciples had about all of these people they wanted. They were tired of looking at the 5,000. They'd been there all day. They were hearing things that they've heard Jesus preach over and over again. So, you know, they thought they had already heard it all. But what they didn't realize is that these people were hearing the very words of life that was going to give them not just a natural manifestation of healing or deliverance, but it was going to give them eternal life. And what was a few hours in comparison to eternity? And, so it's funny. So they just decide that Jesus needs to pronounce a benediction and let these people go. they can go rest. They can go find their own food. They're on their own. I mean, that's the way we are. You know, we say bless you and we send people on their way and don't even care that more than likely these people had nowhere to go. They had no money to get there. How were they going to pay for lodging? And most of them probably didn't even have enough money to pay for the food. So not only were the disciples being insensitive and interrupting the flow of the Holy Ghost in that particular instance, they were so insensitive to the very natural needs of these people. And we do that as human beings. We walk out of our churches every Sunday, not even concerned about the person sitting next to us may not be able to pay their rent that month. Maybe they are in such dire need of a healing that it was by faith that they walked into that church and was even able to sit upright in a chair to hear the gospel. And we're just thinking, well, we got to get this over with. You know, it's late and I've got someplace to go and I need to go have lunch with my friends and I want to hear about everything else that's going on outside of the church, and missing an opportunity for a miracle sitting next to us and wanting to send people on to their homes. Don't care if they can even pay the rent. Don't care if they have food. Don't care what's going on. And the body of Christ has got to stop that. We've got to be more sensitive. We've got to be burden barriers for one another. We've got to not enable people to use us or our resources or our love for them, but genuine needs of people that we can touch on a daily basis. But yet we're in a hurry and it's like, oh, you're on your own. Be blessed and send them off with nothing. We do it all the time. And then the word goes on and says, but he was quite serious. He said, Jesus said, you do it. Fix supper for them. Now, Jesus turned it back on the disciples. He said, why are you sending these folks off? I mean, I'm kind of paraphrasing here. This is Jan's interpretation. He's saying, we're not going to send them off. He said, you do it. Now, you know, the disciples were absolutely amazed that Jesus was putting the responsibility back on them. They were thinking to themselves, you got to be kidding. We're going to take all this money. We're going to actually spend all this fortune on the food for these people. And we're going to feed them supper. And we're going to take the money out of the funds that we, you know, accumulated through ministry all this time and feed these 5,000 people. And they're thinking to themselves, has Jesus absolutely lost his mind? Well, you know, we can't criticize the disciples for thinking this or not even understanding what's going on, because we do the same thing. We give into church ministries. We give into other ministries that we support. And then sometimes we cross a line when we begin to wonder why they're investing in some of the things. Why are they doing a new building project at the church? Why are they, you know, giving so much to foreign missions? And, you know, all the things that we begin to question what they're doing with the tithe and offering that we've given as people, and criticize. And Jesus was no different. His staff did to him the same thing that all of us have done at some time or another in our association with the body of Christ. And so let me get off of that for a minute and let's go on. Because Jesus obviously was very serious about what he was wanting to do here. And he said, now go out, guys. Find out how many loaves of bread we have out there. Take inventory. Come back and let me know. And they came back. It didn't take long. Didn't take long. Even though it was 5,000 people, there wasn't a whole lot of food out there. And so they came back and they said, well, you know, we've got 5 plus 2 fish. And Jesus got them all, you know, to sit down in groups of 50 or maybe 100. And he looked at them and they're all across the grass. And he's thinking, wow, this is great. So he takes the 2 fish and the 5 loaves of bread, and he lifts them up to heaven and he faces towards the Father and he says, Lord, bless this. And then he began to break the bread and give it to the disciples. And then they began to, in turn, give it to the people. And he did the same thing with the fish. And they were all full. In fact, there was an overflow of abundance left. There was 12 baskets left over. And there was still, if you look out, there were still 5,000 people. And it took only 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. And that's what Jesus is saying to us. What little you have, Jan, what little you have, my children, if you'll just give it to me, lift it up to me, turn your face towards heaven, pray a prayer of faith and just say, Lord, it's yours. Do what you want to. You're the God of multiplication. You can do so much more than I could do with it. in myself can't do anything, but Lord, when your hand touches it, you know nothing but increase. And that's what we're serving, is a God of increase and a God of multiplication and a God that cares and a God that loves us and a Father that wants to multiply the very areas of our life that are lacking. And it was obvious that these 5,000 people lacked resources and finances. They didn't have any way to pay for lodging. They didn't have any way to pay for food. And the disciples were so sidetracked by the sheer numbers and by the cost that they weren't even looking for the supernatural to take place on the behalf of these 5,000 people. Well, I'm going to stop it for here right now, and I'm going to go into part two in the next segment. So I just thank you for joining me, and be sure to catch part two, and talk to you soon. God bless you.